Hi, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all. I'm Adam Walker.
And I'm Sanjay Parekh.
And we've got some great stories we're going to talk about today. But first, I want to mention we're at Prototype Prime recording this. Very thankful for the podcasting room here. We're going to talk more about podcasting in a bit, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We've been enjoying it for a little over 6 months now.
I really enjoy podcasting. It is dangerously fun. I'm about to start up some other podcasts. Maybe we should talk about that at some point.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's an addiction. It's a good addiction. But in this episode, you want to stay tuned because we have some crazy and fun stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about Cabbage, which is a homegrown Atlanta-based startup that's getting some good attention these days. Also, iRobot doing home mapping, cryptocurrency split, Hyperloop 1 hits 192 miles an hour, China is shaming debtors digitally, and NASA has an amazing new position that Sanjay and I are definitely applying for.
We're totally applying for that
job. It's going to be amazing.
We'll talk about it in a minute.
It's going to be great. So, and we may spend a little bit about that position. We'll see. So to start with, let's talk about Cabbage.
Cabbage. So you know Cabbage, right? Great company here in
Atlanta. I'm familiar with
Cabbage,
yes.
For our listeners that don't know Cabbage, Cabbage is a provider of online loans for people that are selling on Etsy and places like that. So as I understand it, it's instant loans nearly instant loans.
Right.
And they use a lot of metrics that the regular credit providers, I guess you're like Equifax's,
right,
another Atlanta company,
yep,
use. So they use different things based on your metrics online. So they just got an infusion of 250 million simoleons.
You sounded kind of like Dr. Evil when you said that was great, man. We should do that again. $1 million.
Now you have to go $1 billion. Yeah.
$250 million. That's pretty good.
$250 million. So they've already raised about that much money.
Wow.
And their previous round, their last round, valued them at $1 billion. They haven't announced what this valuation is, and normally that's not done anyways, but you got to expect that it went up, right? So,
right.
I mean, all told, $500 million in, you know, company's probably worth a couple of billion dollars at this point.
Yeah.
So what do you think? You think they've got plans to go public?
I don't know. I mean, that or just expand services in some capacity. I mean, it's hard. $250 million, it seems like you could do a lot of stuff with that.
Yeah,
you know?
they actually said that with this money, they're going to start moving into Asia.
Okay, yeah.
So that's interesting. They'd already moved into Europe.
Right.
And I believe they had a deal with UPS. They've got a deal with, I was going to say somebody else. You know who I confused it with? I was going to say Waffle House, but that's Roadie. And the reason I confuse those
very
two...
Very different things, man.
They are very different. But the thing that's common between those two is Mark Gorland.
Okay.
Who's a local entrepreneur.
I got you.
He was a founder over at Cabbage. He left then. I think he's still involved with Cabbage, but then he went to go start up Roadie.
Okay.
You can't get Cabbage loans at Waffle House, but you can pick
that would
up
be
and
amazing.
Drop off Roadie.
If you could have just all your meetings at Waffle House, that really is where you want to go. Like, I want to meet my financial advisors at Waffle House. Like,
there you go.
It's the best office ever, really.
And, you know, we don't talk, well, I guess we talk about it a lot, but that's a great confluence of great Atlanta companies, right? Waffle House is yet another great Atlanta company based headquarters not too far from where we are right now. And it's interesting that these companies are all doing deals. And so getting back to Cabbage, I think Cabbage did a deal with UPS, which is yet another Atlanta company as well.
Okay.
So nice. Great stuff, I think. I think that bodes very well. I just don't know that there has been enough press on a deal like this. I found one article. I don't know if there's more out there.
Well, we're giving them press, and
exactly,
that's what matters.
Exactly. So the eight people that are out there now all know.
You all know.
That Cabbage has made
legit.
Yeah.
That's what
they're too legit to quit. Don't hurt them.
We're going way old school today. It's going to be great. So, all right. So the next article we want to talk about is, don't worry, iRobot is not planning to sell your data to Roomba or your Roomba, your home data, your home map, right? So who has an iRobot? Just raise your hand in your car. Great. Okay. Now the one of you is raising
your
hand.
Hands on the wheel. What are you doing?
So basically what came out is people realized that for one, Roombas are mapping your house. Like they're creating the internal maps of your house. And there was this worry based on a statement that the company released that wasn't a great statement that says like, we're not yet selling your data. That's how they phrased it. And that kind of freaked people out. And so now they've come out and said, no, your data is your own. We're not selling the map to your house to everyone. It's going to be okay. So there's just all kinds of weird implications to this, right?
So here's the thing that I'm confused about with this story. So I have not had a Roomba for a long time. I had one of the early ones.
Yeah, me too.
And it was not connected to the internet.
Mine wasn't either.
Do they connect to the internet now?
They must. There's no other explanation for
this article. Why?
Listen, it's the Internet of Things, man. Have you heard of the Internet of Things? Because everything should be connected to the Internet, clearly.
I've heard of things on the Internet.
I need my refrigerator connected to the Internet so that everybody on Twitter knows when my milk is not cold enough. Like, that's the ultimate goal, right? Is we're tweeting about mundane things, and people need to know when my milk has gone bad. Yeah. Like, hey, your milk has expired. I'm going to tweet it out to shame you into buying new milk.
And that's why we have bot armies, because of badly written software.
Well, I mean, my bot army got you to a certain number of followers, right?
Well, so that's true. Thanks for that 9,000.
You're welcome. I just try to help you out, man. So I think the takeaway there is, I mean, again, this is an Internet of Things deal. And people, I mean, these companies are building data based on what we're doing. And we need to just simply be aware that this, we're giving away privacy as we're putting these smart things into our home.
Yep.
And we need to be aware of these companies' privacy policies. Are they going to sell the data? Are they not going to sell the data? These users didn't know until just now.
Yeah.
And fortunately, the company's going to do the right thing. They're not going to sell the data, but they could have easily gone the other way.
Right. Well, they're doing the right thing because there was an uproar about
Right.
And if now there had not been an uproar about it.
They're walking it back.
Exactly.
They're walking it back. Yeah.
Like so many things. Yeah.
Well, so speaking of being walked back, right? So there was this great article that you shared with me about Microsoft Paint being killed off after 32 years.
Yeah. And so that was about a week ago that I tagged that article. And then a couple of days ago, they said, no, we're not going to kill it off because there was an uproar from users.
Right.
Now, what I want to know is, who the heck out there is still using Microsoft Paint?
Because I'm not.
I am not.
Listen, it's a cool little deal back when I was like a middle schooler and all. Like, it was awesome.
Yeah.
But
you used it for your school projects people thought you were awesome because it's like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
Who's using it now?
I don't know.
I mean,
and why would they?
I just don't understand.
There's so many other free resources out there.
I don't understand.
I bet there are some Microsoft Paint artists out there. I guarantee you, we need to Google this. Microsoft Paint artists. There are people creating these masterpieces with Microsoft Paint. I guarantee. We need to go find them.
I don't believe it.
I saw an article one time, not that long ago, that it was somebody that was creating artwork using Excel spreadsheets, coloring the cells.
Oh my God.
Like little pixels. And then you'd zoom super way out and it'd be this crazy thing of art.
Oh
right?
My God.
So we need to find the link to that and put it in the show notes. I guarantee you there is that equivalent for Microsoft Paint. It has to exist.
I don't know if I call those things art.
I don't know why somebody would
sad.
Spend that much time.
Just sad.
Well, that's where I was going, but I wasn't going to say it.
I saw the story once about a guy that used Etch-a-Sketches.
Right.
And he would create these incredible works of art.
Right.
And then he would take them apart and
remove
the dust.
Right.
So, and everything was one line. That is a piece of art.
Right.
Using Excel. No, that's sad. Sad.
I'll let that guy know.
Yeah.
Or that girl. No, I don't know who.
Yeah.
All right.
That is not a piece of art we would put up here at Prototype Prime.
That's right.
I'm just telling you right now.
And he knows a lot about art. So speaking of something that is not sad. So Bitcoin was not going to split, and then it did, right? And you're going to need to tell me about this, because this sounds too good to be true, maybe, for some people.
Yeah, I don't.
What's the deal?
Yeah, I don't understand fully, I guess, myself.
You've benefited to some degree.
Maybe.
Possibly. We'll find out. Okay.
So so what happened was, there's been discussion about splitting Bitcoin.
Okay.
And the challenge with Bitcoin is that transactions are getting slowed down. There's so many people using Bitcoin and conducting transactions that it's taking a long time for transactions to clear.
Okay.
So that doesn't help, right? I mean, that's going to prevent actually really more wide scale adoption from happening.
Right.
And so it's kind of technical as to why that is. It's related to the block size of transactions and speed and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
So there was a proposal to shift, to create a secondary version of Bitcoin that would fix this problem.
Okay.
Okay. So a lot of people agreed, but then some people did not. So they needed at least, I think it was 80%. To agree to do this changeover.
Okay.
So when we had this article, it was like,
not gonna happen.
Right. And then it happened.
Weird.
Now, so what's interesting, so I've got my Bitcoin at this site called Coinbase.
Okay.
So it's Bitcoin. I didn't buy it. I got it for free from one of these sites that now
I remember you got signed up and you got free Bitcoin.
Yeah, it was like $10 worth of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And now it's like worth $60 or something like that. So Coinbase said about a week ago, no, we're not going to support Bitcash. That's the new one.
That's the split. Okay.
Right. And we're just going to only support Bitcoin. So there was this uproar from, this is like, just like the iRobot thing.
Yeah.
There was an uproar from users saying, wait a minute. So basically you're keeping my extra money and benefiting it from it yourselves.
Right.
And not giving it to me. BS. And there was a threat of a lawsuit.
Right.
Yesterday, maybe it was yesterday, the day before yesterday, I got an email from Coinbase saying, yeah, we've decided that technically it is possible, and we are working towards providing you access, and it'll be done by January 1st, 2018.
So now we have three stories where public uproar has changed the direct course of something relatively dramatically.
Right. So that's probably the theme of this podcast.
That's the theme, is public uproar.
Fight.
That could go in so many scary directions right now. I'm not gonna go where I'm thinking. I'm just gonna abstain.
Yeah, I think I know what you're thinking about.
You probably do.
Yeah.
Haircut. Okay, so speaking of haircuts, I don't even know how to transition this one. I really don't.
Haircuts to Wi-Fi hackers.
Yes. Thank you, Wi-Fi hackers, for us to talk about something technical. So there is a conference in Las Vegas, Nevada every year, and it is a hacker conference. And at that conference, all of the, you know, self-proclaimed or whatever hackers around the U.S. get together. And
it's called DEF CON.
It's called DEF CON.
Have you ever been?
I've not been.
I've never been.
It sounds like a super scary place to be on the internet in any capacity.
Yeah.
So this guy decided...
You know what they say is that you should go and not take your phone, not take anything Wi-Fi enabled.
Yeah.
If you need a phone, buy a new phone.
Yeah.
Just for DEF CON.
Yeah. It's that scary. Yeah. Right. So you're not going to get jumped there because they can't physically jump you. They're just going to hack the crap out of you, right? So, don't hurt me for saying that. Don't hack me for saying that. Anybody that's here.
Yeah.
So what's interesting, this guy decided he wanted to see what kind of hacks
were
happening.
By the way, that was Adam that said that, not Sanjay. So if you've got a beef with anybody, it's Adam, not Sanjay.
So he wanted to see what
Adam,
kind of
hacks... Adam, not Sanjay.
He wanted to see what kind of hacks were happening at this conference. So he put together this crazy backpack with all these routers, and I don't even know what, maybe you can describe it better than I can, to analyze what type of hacks are happening, right?
Yeah, it was something like 20 or something.
I think 20, he attached 20 to a backpack.
And a big, it looked like a big car battery
them all. Huge battery. It's a 2-hour charge.
And, yeah. So we
can, and LED lights on, because, I mean, why would you not have LED lights on, right? Come on.
And it was 30 pounds, I think, or something?
I think 30 pounds. It's so got a pineapple on top. I'm not sure why.
Well, because those devices are called pineapples.
Of course, thank
called
you. That's Wi-Fi right. I remember pineapples. That now. Yeah, yeah. Right.
So he's got these, and he's walking around everywhere where DEF CON's happening and analyzing what kind of hacks are happening.
Yeah. And it was so interesting. And one of the most common ones, it said in the article, I highlighted this, is the impersonation attack. So if you're familiar with the impersonation attack, right? So let's say my phone, by default, and this is actually true and it shouldn't be, my phone has connected in the past to Wi-Fi spots called Xfinity Wi-Fi or Xfinity, right?
Yep.
And so then when I'm out in public, any old place, and it sees that specific name, it'll automatically connect because it's a quote-unquote trusted network. Well, the problem with that is I could buy a router today, I could name it Xfinity Wi-Fi, and I could set it up there, and then anybody connected to it, I could just hack. Like it's no big deal.
Right. So anything that happens in the clear then...
is open.
You'd be able to see.
So they could potentially see passwords. They can see browsing history. They can see anything that an internet provider can see. I mean, they are your internet provider at that point.
And you know what fixes this? If you go back a few episodes, private internet access.
Private internet access.
Boom.
You need to have it. It's super cheap. And that's, I think that was your recommended thing. I actually got it since then.
Yep.
And have been using it, and it's great. And
it's
so when
awesome.
I connect to Wi-Fi at Starbucks, enable private internet access. When I connect to Wi-Fi, really anywhere public. Enable private internet access, and I'm good to go. I'm free and clear. They're not hacking me. They're not messing with me. Nothing else.
Yep.
So you got to do it.
You got to do it.
So that was really interesting. There were a couple of other interesting hacks, too, where they talked about, like, screwing with your phone and making it jump over to different networks. And by the way, the most common network to impersonate is the GoGo in-flight network. So if you've got your devices set up to automatically recognize the GoGo in-flight network,
And you do.
And
if you've ever connected to it,
Your
device defaults to automatically connect to
it. Exactly. So go erase that junk off your device right now and do it after every time so you don't automatically connect and end up getting hacked. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I think that's true for any network that you're on. And if you're, honestly, if you're out in public, if you connect at home and work, you should have it set up so that it turns Wi-Fi off when you're not in those places.
Right. Yep, absolutely. It's pretty critical. So that was just a fascinating article and find right there. So moving on to even more super technical, geeky, crazy stuff. Are you familiar with Elon Musk's Hyperloop?
I am familiar with that.
So Hyperloop hit a new milestone. It hit 192 miles per hour. So let's describe the Hyperloop, what it is, what it's going to do, and if you're going to get in one or not.
Well, I want to know if you're going to get in one, but
Heck yeah.
So it's a tube that they are going to shoot people down.
Yeah. So it's like the bank,
right? 192 miles an hour.
It's like, you know, you go to the bank, the old school, and they have those closed systems.
the pneumatic tubes.
Yeah, the pneumatic tubes. Yeah. That's exactly what, it's a pneumatic tube for people.
Yeah.
That's going to go 200 miles. I think it may even go faster than that, 200 miles an hour. And I think he actually, if I'm not mistaken, he just got cleared to run a Hyperloop, I think between Washington, D.C. and New York, maybe, or like
I'm sure it's not been cleared. That's probably what he wants to do.
I'll have to look up the article. I read something about that, and I should have had that down. Yeah. I mean, he's pretty serious about this, but the bottom line is,
you know what this reminds me of?
What?
There was a James Bond movie
where
they had to smuggle somebody. I'm pretty sure it was James Bond. They had to smuggle somebody out of a communist country.
Right.
And they put them into a little capsule thing in the oil
and
pipeline.
Shot
And shot them out. This was like a cleaning thing.
That is where Elon Musk got the idea, clearly.
I just realized that's probably where he got the idea. That, and I think in Running Man, they also shot people into the
into the
arena.
Or also from Polar Express. He stole the idea from
Polar Express.
They did that in Polar Express.
I don't remember that one.
Million kids, man. I watch that every year. Okay. So literally, you get into this capsule, and it's in this tube. And they depressurize the tube to make it like Earth's stratosphere. So that is a little bit terrifying in and of itself, because you're basically kind of in space-ish, or a simulated
atmosphere
space.
Of space, yeah. With the gravity of Earth.
Right. So then they've got, it runs along magnets on the bottom. So it literally, the whole tube just hovers there based on magnets, everything in there. And then they just fire it down. And it's at 192 miles an hour now. And
so wait. What if you take your computer on there with its hard disk? Does it get wiped out?
I don't know, you know, when I travel I can go to hacker conferences, I don't take my computer, so I'm good.
Okay. So this is only for people that don't want to take their computers with them.
Yeah, that's it.
Got it.
But I mean, this,
and
I think,
if you want to step outside for a smoke, you're done.
There's no air. Well, it doesn't matter, because
it's
supposed to be so amazingly fast. I mean, that's the idea, is this is hyper, the goal is that this will be the fastest form of travel, period, between these cities. Like that's the dream here.
Yeah,
it's an amazing idea.
Didn't they say that when they invented planes, like, this is the fastest travel ever?
And it was,
there'll be something else.
It was, but this could be faster.
This will be,
that's the goal.
In theory, it'll be faster.
Yeah,
but there's always something else, right?
Oh yeah, well, there always
be something
there
faster.
Always will be.
Well, and when we'll get say to, this is the fastest ever,
when
period,
we get to teleportation, then right, we're all set at that. We're
so
done.
like in Star Trek.
Yeah, right? It'll be instant is
Except
always faster.
If you remember in the first movie of Star Trek, didn't they had the teleporter, and then it screwed up and somebody died.
Well, I mean,
they
listen,
got scrambled.
Like, that can happen. You know,
yeah,
you can get scrambled. I mean,
I think I would trust the Hyperloop moving me in one piece versus being dematerialized and rematerialized somewhere else.
We'll get there. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. It'll be great.
I'm good in one piece.
All right. So shifting gears to a completely unrelated topic. And this is just an
interest related
piece
to what we're doing.
This is just an interest piece because of what we're doing. So there is an incubator in Boston for podcasts, which I think is awesome.
I think that is awesome too.
I just really, honestly, I put it in there just to say that like, podcasting is on the upswing. It's growing. It's expanding.
And it's because of us
that we're going to take credit.
Boom.
I like that a lot.
Although the article said there was a pre-serial days and post-serial days.
Yeah, we're post-serial for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here, I mean, we're just killing it, man.
I eat Raisin Bran, but, you know.
Yeah, well, there is that. So
that's a post-serial, isn't it?
It's post-serial. That was the worst joke you've made to date. I just want you, I was trying to let it slide.
I was trying to achieve that, actually, the worst ever joke right there.
So that was like a Napoleon Dynamite level joke? Is that kind of what
pretty
you're going
much
for?
Yeah,
so you're going,
yeah,
for so bad it's actually good?
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Yeah.
Let's keep doing those. All right. So next story.
You know, I'm very impressed that you've seen Napoleon Dynamite, even though you hadn't seen Fight Club.
Well, I've seen Fight Club now.
You've,
I think,
now
I've
seen
that.
Fight,
yeah,
we talked about that. Yeah,
I think I might own Napoleon Dynamite, possibly.
Okay.
And I think I've actually made my wife suffer through it at least one time.
Yeah, I don't think my wife's watched it, and I don't.
Yeah,
she wouldn't
never gonna
suffer
have, yeah,
that
it's
one.
Like there,
yeah,
there's like that and
rough,
like Princess Bride. I mean, there's certain things she's never gonna watch, and it's cool. I'm
Princess,
down with it.
That's Inigo Montoya.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You killed my father.
You killed my father.
Prepare to die.
I feel like I saw something about a sequel coming up with that. I had the kids watch Princess Bride, and they didn't get it.
No.
And I was like, it is so awesome.
It's amazing. Why would you not love this?
An incredible movie.
Yeah.
If you, listener, have not seen The Princess Bride.
You need to do that right now.
More than Napoleon Dynamite. You need to watch The Princess Bride because it is incredible. And if you don't, prepare to die.
Inconceivable. All right, sorry.
Inconceivable. Never go up against a Sicilian when death is on the line.
All right. So now that we've alienated 50% of our listeners. So there's this crazy story about a court in China that is shaming people who owe money by telling everyone who calls them. Do you want to describe this?
This is just awesome. So what it is... So all cell phones have to be registered to the person's name.
In China. Yeah, number and name.
And so even if you change your number, this thing follows you around. So if you owe money, there's a pre-recorded message that says, this person that you're calling owes money and has this debt, and please encourage them to pay their debt before you can actually get connected and talk to them.
Yeah.
How embarrassing is that?
It says, please urge this person to fulfill their legal obligations. Like, that is so, and it says in the article, they've only done it to like 10 people, but, and they've only done it to people that they know owe money and have the capacity to pay it, supposedly. So that's kind of cool. But what's fascinating to me are the long-term and possible implications worldwide of this sort of thing.
I mean,
there's really no reason you couldn't theoretically do that anywhere with anybody.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine that here in the US?
Yeah.
I mean, things would get paid so quickly because who wants that broadcast to everybody that calls you?
So you don't have you don't have to have debt collectors. Instead, you just get like your credit gets to like a certain level of bad.
Right.
And then once it hits that level, it's like, okay, AT&T or whoever, like you got to implement this thing and they pass some law to do it. And then all of a sudden you're just getting shamed for it.
I think here you might have to expand it a little bit and maybe do it as a email as well as texting, right? You text somebody.
There's like an auto response.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know if you know this, that this person owes us money and it'd be great if you could encourage them to pay that.
That's great. There's an auto text response, an auto email. Can you imagine that for doing business like with a client?
Oh,
like how bad would that be? You know, your client emails you and it bounces back saying they owe money.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
That would be not good.
I mean, there's all kinds of crazy.
Everything would get paid right away.
Yeah. It's just nuts. I don't even know. I don't even know what else to say.
But then what happens if that's done and you actually don't owe that money?
Exactly.
And then it's like, oh,
and you're
then
fighting
there's a lawsuit.
Yeah, and you're fighting. Right? What happens?
You besmirched my reputation with this and cost
and you can't
me money.
You can't recover. And it's just it's this interesting, you know, technology. I mean, we don't realize that how dependent we are on these things.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a real possibility. I don't think that'll happen in the U.S., but I mean, imagine if it could. Imagine what would happen.
Yeah. You know? I mean, you've got to think about the downsides, right? Like, when a mistake happens, what then?
Yeah.
Right? Because this is all people and technology, and it's not perfect.
Right.
It makes mistakes. I think we've seen that time and time again with, you know, like no fly lists and this, that.
Right.
Like people get on there and it's like, that's not me.
Or like no call list. Because I'm on the no call list and I get like 15 calls a day
now.
Me too.
Killing
me.
That's just because these people don't care and they're just, you know, skirting the law.
Yeah.
Do you report all of them?
I don't have time. I literally get 10 calls a day. From numbers that are like random sales numbers. Oh, yeah, it's awful.
On your cell phone or on landline?
On my cell phone.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So if any listeners have any advice on how to deal with that, you just let me know. That'd
There's a couple of apps out there like No More Robo and things like that.
Really?
Yeah, I tried one of them and it didn't really do it for me.
Okay.
And there's something built in with the Samsung S8 that I've got now.
If that doesn't help me now.
Yeah. I know. Well, you could be like Jeff Hillmeyer and move over to the S8.
I could, but I'm not. So I do appreciate your offering that advice. If you're going to buy me the S8, we can talk about it. So I'll put it out there.
You know, they have a buy one, get one deal right now where if you turn in your old iPhone, you can get two for the price of one.
Oh, man.
No, boom.
No. All right. So listen, let's talk about something amazingly happy. Sanjay, have you heard of Amazon's Treasure Truck?
I have not, and I have now because of you, but...
this is...
I feel like a pirate.
Amazing. So Amazon's Treasure Truck.
Shiver me timbers.
So in certain locations, you have to be in... They're only in a couple of cities. You have to see what cities they're in, and you sign up to get updates. And so
the important thing is there, which I've now done, is that you've got to send them a text message to know, because I thought it would just show up on the site, but it doesn't.
Nope. You
got to text them.
You text the word truck to 24193. Again, you text to sign up for this. You text the word truck.
By the way, they are not sponsors.
That's right. But I'm just I want people to be in the know. Text truck to 24193, and then what happens is they'll load up the truck with like this amazing deal on like this amazing device. So at one point,
and it's one product a day.
One product a day.
Yeah.
And at one point, like they like loaded up a whole bunch of GoPros that were 64% off, and you could
incredible.
It's amazing, and you'd get a text, and the text would say, "Hey, today in the treasure truck in your area, we've got GoPros 64% off. Here's the price." You'd go into your Amazon app, you'd buy the GoPro on off the treasure truck area of their Amazon app, wherever that is, and then you'd go to the truck that's already in your city, like close by, and just pick it right up.
So this is like Groupon for physical products.
Yes. It's I have a friend that does not listen to this podcast, unfortunately,
what?
But posted on Facebook about how she got that new Nintendo that has like 100 vintage Nintendo games off the treasure truck. Like
and at what discount?
I have no idea, but I would buy that in a heartbeat.
Oh, totally.
I mean, if it was 20% off, I mean, I'd buy that.
There's been shortages of that everywhere.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing. So if you are in one of the served cities, which I will tell you is Seattle, LA, Chicago, Dallas, Houston, Atlanta.
Boom.
Boom. You can sign up for the treasure truck and start getting some happiness.
I'm all about the treasure truck.
I'm all about some happiness.
I wouldn't mind a chest full of treasure.
That like would work too.
Gold doubloons.
Galleons. Did we just go there? Like, yeah. This is a technology podcast. Well, you are aware of that.
You look at their site, and they have like pirates there.
That is true. So
they're going with the pirate theme.
They have a whole video of pirates.
I didn't watch the whole video.
I only watched the first 30 seconds because you interrupted me. And I mean, in all fairness,
okay,
I'm just saying
it's my fault.
So, last story before we get to our app recommendations, are you people ready?
I'm applying for a new job.
There is a job at NASA called Sanjay. What's it called?
Planetary Protection Officer.
Is there a cooler name in the world than that name?
I don't think there is.
There's not.
I think I might just start using that as my title.
Hey, I'm Adam. I'm the Planetary Protection Officer. How
I'm
you doing?
Protecting the planet.
I'm protecting the planet.
So obviously, you and I thought initially this was about protecting Earth.
It definitely is protection from aliens.
From aliens.
Listen, the job description might say something slightly different than that. I don't believe it for a second. This is
it's
alien invasion and asteroid slamming into Earth prevention. I'm just calling it.
So this is you being Bruce Willis and blowing up asteroids.
Yes.
And like an Armageddon.
Yeah, because it says here, listen, I mean, can it be any
How
more
many
clear?
Movie references have we had this episode?
A lot. Listen, it can't be any more clear because it says under job requirements, key requirements, first one, frequent travel may be required. Now, what I read there is you may have to go blow up an asteroid in space. That's what I read. I'm pretty sure that's what that says.
Yeah, they didn't say where to.
They didn't say where you're traveling.
And how many millions of miles you have to go. Yeah. But clearly, that's what they mean.
Clearly, you're going to Mars to fight somebody. Like, what else would you be doing as the Planetary Protection Officer?
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. It's a fight to the death with a little green alien.
So as much as I hate to ask this, what is this job really about?
So this job is actually really about protecting other planets from us sullying them with our organic matter.
Okay.
So intended or unintended, when we spend spacecraft, and it makes a lot of sense, actually. So we don't want to go to Mars and infect it and contaminate it and then go, oh, look, we found life here. And the life is actually the life that we brought, not the life that's actually there.
Right.
Or that life happens to destroy whatever life is already there, right? So we've seen examples of this here in the U.S., on Earth, where invasive species have been moved from one place to another, and they just decimate. They just decimate the species
like
there because they're not
used to
it.
Ivy in my front yard that's just killing me. Yeah.
Yeah. Ivy or kudzu.
Maybe it's the cut. Whoever it is, like whoever brought that in, like let's have a talk.
You know, we brought kudzu in because we thought it was going to be a good crop, and then it was like, oh no,
this is awful.
Yeah,
burn it
so
all.
So exactly that. So we don't want to do that to other planets because that would mess things up.
Right.
And I think we've done a pretty good job here of messing things up. Let's not go to other planets and mess them up too.
I mean, we will at some point, but let's just do it later.
Yeah.
So the best part about this whole job description on the website that I just thought was truly amazing, if you keep scrolling down, first you'll realize that I'm not qualified to apply for this job, which super sad there. But the best part's at the very end where it says, there's a headline, security clearance, and underneath it just says, secret. Like, you can't even know security clearance is required.
If you don't know, you can't know.
If we have to tell you, You're not qualified.
Yeah. It's like if you have to ask how expensive it is, you can't afford it.
That's right. Just like that.
It's the same thing.
It's the same idea.
I think that's actually the classification that you need, and not the fact that they're not telling you.
I'm going to politely disagree with you on that and believe what I want to believe. So that's what I'm going to do. Oh, man. All right. So it is the time of our show that everybody loves, where we are going to talk about our tech recommendations. We have a couple of interesting ones for you today. I'm actually going to recommend two against Sanjay's advice, just because I'm feeling ornery or whatever. I don't know. Spicy?
Cheeky.
Cheeky. That's the word. I'm feeling cheeky. But you go first, please. What do you have?
Well, I only have one, so mine will be quicker. So Firefox, or Mozilla, I guess, Foundation,
right,
has released this new app, and it's a web-based app, and it's called Send.
Okay.
So if you go to send, send.firefox.com, you can upload a file there, and I think they say it's up to 16 gigs.
What?
Yeah, wow, and nice. They encrypt it, and you get a link, and you can send that to anyone. And the file is only available for one download or 24 hours.
Nice.
And then it goes away.
That is amazing.
So here's the thing. I absolutely used this yesterday to send a file to somebody. I was going to email it, but it was too big and it got rejected. It was like 30 megs or something like that. So not huge.
No, that's not big.
But it got rejected. So I used this to do it, and it actually worked really well. I started playing around with it a little bit, and I don't really understand the encryption side of it because I hacked the URL and it still let me get the file. So I don't know that it's super, super safe yet. And you should never be using a site like this to transfer anything that is sensitive or secret.
Right.
You know, like any planetary protection officer files, you should not be using this for that. Or classified.
I think that
information
goes in scrolls, actually. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Yeah.
Scrolls with messengers.
With wax and stuff.
Right? And you have to kill the messenger once you get the scroll.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What else would you do? Come on.
That's what we pharaohs do. But if you're emailing files in the first place, those are not safe and secure anyways.
Not at all.
You should realize that. Yeah. So you should not be emailing files that are sensitive in any way.
Okay.
But this seems like a really cool way to send files to one another. And it's free right now.
Yeah, I love that.
It's a service that they're trying out. I've used it once. I'm a big fan. It works really, really well.
Yeah.
So try it out. Send, send.firefox.com.
That's great. I love that advice. So for me, I'm going to talk about an old app that I have renewed interest in, and then a new app that I'm super excited about. So my old app that I have a renewed interest in is Flipboard. So I'm sure all of you have checked out Flipboard, and Flipboard's great for reading news and stuff like that. And what has renewed my interest in Flipboard is the ability to create my own curated magazine, which we've done for Tech Talk Y'all. So if you're a Flipboard user and you like what we talk about, you can go find the Tech Talk Y'all magazine on Flipboard and subscribe to it. And you can see, and we put in all the stories that we talk about and all the stories we don't talk about into there. And it's just kind of a really interesting way to curate stuff. And I've created a couple of other magazines there as well. So I've really been enjoying that as just a news medium tool.
You realize being the editor of a Flipboard magazine is not the same as being the editor of Time magazine, right?
Listen.
I'm just making sure you realize that.
In my world where planetary protection officer means defending the world against aliens, it absolutely is the same thing. Like, this is my world. You're just living in it, buddy. You know what I'm saying? So
works for me.
I just enjoy curating the content because you flip through Flipboard, there's so many articles that just aren't, there's one in 10 that I think is truly interesting.
Yeah.
And I take those and I put them into Tech Talk Y'all, or I put them into one of the other magazines I curate.
Right.
And I hope that that's going to be helpful to people to find more valuable content more quickly.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
I got to tell you, the app on Android is really well done. I've been using it since we've started this, this Flipboard magazine. And it's really easy to find stuff and kind of flip through articles that are interesting and just read them really quickly when I'm out and about.
Yeah, I really love it. The other app that I've been using a lot is called JFIT, J-E-F-I-T. And it's an app, I think it's an article. It's an app that's just helping you do your gym workout. So I've been doing a gym workout myself for probably the last 8 or 9 months. And honestly, haven't seen a lot of great, you know, results from it. I'm not like the Hulk yet. So I'm wanting to be more Hulkish, right? So
you would be scary as like the Adam, Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'd it'd be amazing.
Are you thinking Lou Ferrigno Hulk or computer generated?
No,
Lou Ferrigno Hulk.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Lou Ferrigno is he's a man.
Normal
Hulk. I need to keep the hat on and then I just
Hulk.
Beef up, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, not computer Hulk that's like 5,000 pounds. I just want to be a dude, right? So, but it's a great app, sort of walks you through different workouts to do in the gym and how to do them and keeps track of your workouts and everything else. So if you're a guy or girl that does workouts in the gym and just sort of needs something to track them and kind of give you some motivation and help, it's actually a really good app, and I believe it's free so far. So I've been using it for two or three weeks now. I really like it.
I'm looking at the site, and they're saying 4 million plus registered users.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is the next stat, it's 340, I think it's billion pounds lifted.
Yeah. Yeah, it counts. That's so fascinating. At the end of every workout, it actually calculates how many pounds you lifted based on how many reps you did with whatever thing. And it's like, I lifted that many pounds? What? That's crazy. It's great.
I could lift a car.
I can actually lift a car.
That's impressive.
If it's like a Matchbox car.
Yeah.
I got that down.
I do those all the time, man. Yeah.
I got kids, you know? It's great. So that's it for our show. You can find me at AJ Walker on Twitter. You can also find me at adamjwalker.com, where I blog about leadership and family and basically all kinds of crazy stuff I'm thinking about from productivity and every other standpoint. And you can find me, well, I'll just leave it there. You can also find my company website and nonprofit website, but you know, I'll let you find those later. So that's me. How can we find you?
And you can find me on Twitter at Sanjay, S-A-N-J-A-Y. I'm at sanjaypark.com, my blog that still has not been updated. I'm going to start working on an article, I think, soon here.
I'm going to count how many times you said that on this thing.
It's the running joke.
Hey, can I guest post an article on there? Like, would that work?
Maybe, I guess.
I'm going to do that.
I think I need to figure out a better content management system for my site. I think that's one of the things holding me back.
I'm going to guess
because it's just kind of a pain.
What management system is it on?
I use Jekyll. So
you definitely need something else. Oh, man. Oh, that's Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Okay,
thanks for wasting a half an hour with us. We appreciate it. And we will see you guys in 2 weeks.
Let's talk about it in 2 weeks. Man, that was a fun episode, huh?
I enjoyed it.
I mean, in the things that, you know, we didn't talk about. We're going to talk about next time.
Exactly.
It's going to be